Amen. Thank you very much. That was a great song, and indeed, His name is great. Amen? His name is great, and we've come to give Him praise. Well, while the choir and the singers find their place, you be finding your place in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we read in just a moment or two, verses 31, 32, and 33, and we focus back on verse 31 in just a moment. I'm so happy to be back at Olive today. It was my great privilege to serve as an intern here for two summers, just as I came to the conclusion of my Bible college days and entered into seminary. I had a great time here working, of course, under the pastor, but primarily with Dr. Stan Lewis, who is my good friend, and I miss that he's not in the area now that I'm back in the area, but I try to talk to him as often as I can, and I know he's doing a good job up in Birmingham. I really did enjoy my time here. Matter of fact, I lived in the Karras House on Whitmire the last time I was here, so ladies, I apologize for the smell. I was a college student, you understand, all right, so but I'm sure it's okay now. I got it fixed up, but I lived there for my time this summer and loved that very, very much. Got to be here when Pastor was the president of the Pastor's Conference in Indiana and got to go up for that and have that great experience. It was a wonderful time for me as a young preacher, just kind of learning. And now as pastor of Rays Chapel Baptist Church back in the area on the north end of the county, out in the country just below Alabama, the Alabama line. So I got as close to Alabama as I could get and still be in Florida. And so that's where I am now for just a little over 3 years, and loving that very, very much. I miss my church family today, though I am proud to be here with you. I was looking back through some pictures of when I was here my last Sunday before I left. I took some pictures in the sanctuary, Robert and a few other guys, and the Jernigans here, I have one with them where they're on the each side, I'm hugging them like this, and I looked at that picture, and man, I was smiling and bright-eyed and skinny. Man, I was skinny in those days, I'm telling you, and carefree. I had nothing to worry about. And now, since that time, I've gotten married. I've been married for 5 years. My wife, Danielle, will be here for the 11 o'clock service. And now we have two children, Silas, who is 2 years old, and Hudson Taylor Brown, who is just about 4 months old or so. And I've also been a pastor full-time for over 3 years. So I went from skinny and carefree to fat and nervous. That's just where I am now, okay? So I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Taylor for letting me come and preach today. The first time that I preached here on Sunday, I wondered, what in the world am I doing this for? What am I here for? How did I get to this opportunity? Because there's so many good preachers already on staff here, and then, of course, the pastor. But this time I know. This time I know why I'm here. And many of you probably heard this story already, but I want to tell it my way, okay? And ever so often the pastor will call me when he's going to preach somewhere a little further off, and I'll ride up with him, and then I'll drive him back, kind of thing. And so he called me and said, you want to go to Tuscaloosa with me while I preach? And of course, he did that on purpose because I'm an Auburn fan, and he knew that would be hard for me. And so he asked me to go, and so I went with him. He was preaching for some of the tornado victims up there in a big rally, and we went up, and as I waded through the dark oppression that settled in on my soul in Tuscaloosa, we went into that place, and he preached, man, did a great job, had a great service. And on the way back, I'm driving, and we got talking and kind of preaching to ourselves a little bit, and I just got to going a little too fast on the interstate, and we were just almost home, late night, early morning, and was ready to get home, and wouldn't you know it, blue lights. And so I pulled over, and trooper came to the window, and he said, come back and sit with me in my car. I didn't know what to expect on that. I didn't know that was what they did these days, and so I went back and sat in the car with him. And he said, why are you going so fast? And, you know, I'm not one to try to use my position to my advantage, but I said, oh, sir, I'm a preacher. We were serving the Lord in Tuscaloosa. The tornado victims there is horrible. We're doing a great job for the Lord. We were serving God in that way. And he said, well, fantastic. Well, here's your ticket. And so he gave me that. And I said, I know that's why I'm so embarrassed. He said, well, you have a great story to tell next Sunday, won't you? I said, yes, sir, I sure will. And so he gave me that. And I came back and got in the car with the pastor. And after he quit laughing, he looked and he said, you want to come preach at Olive? And I said, sure, I'll come preach at Olive. So that's why I'm here today. I know out of obligation, he felt bad. And so that's why I'm here. And I'm glad to be here to preach for you today. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 31. I want you to read that with me out loud together. And then verses 32 and 33, I'll read, okay? And then we'll preach. Today's my message is this. Don't waste your Thanksgiving. Don't waste your Thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Read it together with me out loud. Ready? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Let's pray together. Father, indeed your name is great, and you are greatly to be praised. You have a name that is above every name, and we look forward to the day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Father, give us ears to hear and obey what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. In just a few days from now, people all across the country will gather together with family and friends to celebrate Thanksgiving. I think my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving because I love to eat. Can I get a witness? Anybody else like? Me too, man. I love that. So I gather with my family, just like many of you will, just like everybody in the country just about will do, and we'll gather together for an incredible celebration. There will be food, there will be family, there will be friends, there will be fun, there will be football. It will be a great day. I cannot wait to celebrate Thanksgiving. But do you understand today that there are a great majority of people in our country who will gather and they will celebrate together with all of that, with their family and perhaps friends, food, football, fun. They'll come to the end of their day, crawl in their bed, and having done all of that, they will have wasted Thanksgiving. Say, preacher, that sounds kind of radical this morning. Well, here's the point of saying that. Here's the big idea of this message. Thanksgiving, I argue, Thanksgiving is wasted if it doesn't center around Jesus. Thanksgiving is wasted if it doesn't center around Jesus. So today, I want to help you not to waste your Thanksgiving. I want to show you how to have a Thanksgiving celebration that will bring a smile to the face of God. So what I want to do this morning is first I want to give you a foundational principle that expands to all of life, and then I want to give a specific application to our Thanksgiving celebration. So first of all, let me share with you a foundational principle from all of life, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And here is that foundational principle of all of life. All of life is to be lived to the glory of God. All of life is to be lived to the glory of God. What we have here is Paul's summary and conclusion to a discussion that he began way back in chapter 8, verse 1. There, Paul begins to answer a question asked of him by the church concerning things offered, meat offered to idols. And so Paul launches from that into a discussion of Christian liberty. And his conclusion in verse 31, 32, and 33 is that whatever we do, we should do all to the glory of God, to be non-offensive in how we live, pleasing all men, not our own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. That is the conclusion and the summary of Paul's argument of Christian liberty. And expanding out from that, we can make this statement today. The Bible's central message is that God created man to bring him glory. God created you and me to bring him glory. The Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. John MacArthur says the highest purpose any individual can have is to be totally absorbed in the person of God and to view all of life through eyes that are filled with his wonder and his glory. That is our highest achievement, our highest goal and purpose, is that all of our life is to bring glory unto our great God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if verse 31 teaches us anything, it teaches us this, that even in the most mundane, routine, seemingly non-spiritual things of life, like eating and drinking, we should do those things in a way
that God gets glory from them. So that is the foundational principle. Now what I want to do is I want to give a specific application. How can you and I celebrate Thanksgiving in such a way that it will bring glory to our great God? And to answer that question, I want you to turn now to the Old Testament, to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. You take your Bible and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, and I want to read verses 7 through 13. The introduction is over, now the message is beginning, okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse number 7. You listen, and let's talk about how we can celebrate a Thanksgiving that honors our God. Look at verse 7 and following. The ark of God has come back to the place where David was. They're celebrating that, and this is what the Word of God says. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Verse 8 through 13 and following is David's psalm of thanksgiving. Notice it here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. In this text, I believe there are five actions that you and I should take, that we can take, that will help us celebrate a Thanksgiving that brings glory to the Father. What are those five things? Number one, I believe this text calls us to think gospel thoughts. To think gospel thoughts. Notice in verse 12 of chapter 16, he says, remember his wonderful deeds which he has done. Verse 14, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Then he goes on to spell out an abbreviated history of what God had done in bringing his covenant people, the promise he had made in keeping that promise and bringing them to the promised land of their possession. Why the call here to remember? Why is it that verse 12 and verse 15 call us to remember the wonderful deeds of the Lord? Well, here's why. Because we forget. We have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to contract spiritual amnesia and to forget the wonderful works of God. And so the scripture repeatedly calls us to remember. Remember God. Remember he is Lord. Remember his wonderful works. Remember, remember, remember. And do not forget. How do you remember? You think. Christians are called to think. And so if you're in this place and you don't like to think, you're in bad company. Because the scripture calls Christians to think. Especially about Jesus Christ. Especially about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to lay aside sin and run our race with perseverance. And then verse 3 has these wonderful words, for consider him. Who is that? Jesus. Consider Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, lest, he says, you become weary and faint in your heart. What is it that calls us to perseverance? What is it that calls us to endure suffering and shame for the joy of the Lord? What is that? It's thinking of the example and the life and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thinking about what he has done calls us to persist and to pursue the things of the Lord. I love the contemporary Christian duo, Shane and Shane. That's their first name. Not a bad name for a group, Shane and Shane. And they have a wonderful song. And the chorus says something like this. I never can get the words right, but this is the way the chorus goes. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost, picked me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground, I said, when I think about the Lord, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all of the honor and the glory and the praise. If you think, you will thank. Amen? If you think, you will thank. And so if you want to celebrate Thanksgiving in a way that brings a smile to God's face and honors His Son, when you are spending time carving your turkey, carve out some time to thank gospel thoughts. Number two, this text calls us to sing gospel songs. Sing gospel songs. Notice verse 9 of our text. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all of His wonders. Verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Sing gospel songs. Ours is a singing faith. I've been thinking a lot lately about the wonderful gift of music in the body of Christ. Isn't music amazing? Isn't it wonderful? Don't you love this great worship we've experienced this morning in music? Don't you love how Dr. Day leads us and those wonderful musicians play and give themselves to God's glory in that work of the Lord? I'm so glad for the gift of music. I've seen it from all of life. Our son Silas just turned 2 years old and he's starting to sing. And I also come from North Alabama. He's not singing, he's singing, all right? He's singing. He's learning that. His mama is a great singer. My favorite singer is Danielle Brown. And my son's learning that. And just a couple of Sunday nights ago, when he came out of the nursery back into the service after it was over, I was to pick him up and take him home. He bypassed me and went right to the stage and found a microphone. Picked it up and put it right in front of his 2-year-old face. And the sound guy turned it on. And he started singing. Now, I'd like to tell you that he was singing Jesus Loves Me, but he was really singing Dinosaur Train. All right? Those with 2-year-olds know Dinosaur Train. He sang a PBS cartoon song in the church. I said, sing the other song. And then he began to sing this song. The Lord told Noah to build him. And it starts to go, Arky, Arky, Lord told Noah to build him an Arky, Arky. And he goes, build it out of. Go for Barky, Barky, children of the Lord. Now, it doesn't sound like that, all right? It sounds more like yabba dabba jee ba 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 bee bee ba. But he's saying that, and I know that's what it is. I interpret for him. And the tune is right. 2-year-old and singing about God's grace in the building of the ark. I love the gift of music. Ours is a singing faith from a 2-year-old to an 82-year-old. My grandmother, the matriarch of our family who held us together when there was no other man to do it. She wasn't very vocal about her faith. Not all that much. But when I started preaching, she went with me. Every time she could, until she got where she couldn't go anymore, she went. I preached all over North Alabama, just like your pastor. She went. My grandmother was never very vocal about her faith, but here's what she would do. Every time you called her alone, if you listened real close, you'd hear her. Real quiet. She was singing a gospel song. There was a song in her heart. And that is our faith. When the grace of God touches and transforms a life, He puts a song in your heart and a spring in your step. Ours is a singing faith from 2 to 82. And we serve a music-loving God. And that must be so because over and over again, the Scripture commands us to come before Him with singing. And almost always, always, that is linked to the work of thanksgiving. I want you to see a sampling of this. Listen to a psalm, some verses in the psalm. Psalm 92 and verse number 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most high. Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained victory for him. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. And then Psalm 101, verse 1. The psalm writer here says, I've heard your command. I've heard you call me to do it. Now Psalm 101, verse 1 says this. I will sing. I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. Our God is a music-loving God, and he calls us to come before him with a song of thanksgiving in our heart and on our lips. Sing the song of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And I want to tell you, this is a great time in this season of the year when our hearts are turned toward things that matter. If you have an ounce of musical ability in your body, gather your family around the piano or the guitar or the kazoo. It doesn't matter. Just get around and sing the songs of thanksgiving. Think gospel thoughts. Sing gospel songs. And thirdly, pray gospel prayers. Pray gospel prayers. Notice verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. And verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I believe there's hardly a better way for us in the whole world. There's not a better way than this to focus on God in thanksgiving. And that is to pray gospel prayers, to call on his name, to seek his face. Some of y'all may be like me, and you may be a part of families who are, by and large, unbelieving. Probably 95% of my family are unbelievers. Don't know the Lord and don't care to know the Lord. But for some reason, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, before they eat, they always stop and pray. In those sacred holiday moments, they feel the need to acknowledge the presence of God. And so I don't know if you're like me. If you're like me, then it may be that at some Thanksgiving celebrations, you probably need a designated driver. At mine, there's a designated prayer, and it's me. I'm the token Christian. I'm the preacher of the family. And so when I'm there, all eyes turn towards me. We do not eat until I pray. And so you know what I do? Not perfectly, but I am working on it. If they ask me to pray, man, I open up and I pray the gospel. That's what I do. I may not do a very good job of witnessing to them as I should one-on-one. I confess that to you today. But I'm telling you, when their eyes are closed and my eyes are closed and we're praying, I give them the gospel. Load it up and give it out. I pray 10 minutes before we eat. They may not ask me to pray anymore. I'm going to pray the gospel. Why? Because I want the Lord to know that I love him and we acknowledge him. I want my family to know that there is a God and there's a God who saves. And if no other time but that, I'm going to tell them about that God and his great name. Pray gospel prayers. Pray the gospel. And I want to tell you folks that if our only time we're praying around Thanksgiving is over our food, oh, there's more thanksgiving and praying to be done. Pray gospel prayers. Number 4, share gospel stories. Share gospel stories. Notice verse 8 and 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, speak. Open up your mouth and speak of all of his wonders. Verse 23, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Share gospel stories. What is the gospel story? We have it right here in this text. We have it for us. And what is the gospel story? Well, number one, this text tells us, the gospel says, there is one true God. Only one true God who is the creator and the ruler over all. He is to be feared and praised above all. Glory is due his name. Notice verse 25, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. All the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, verse 29 says. Worship the Lord. Tremble before him, all the earth. One true God. Not many gods, one God. One true God. And that God is creator and ruler over all. He is to be feared and praised, and glory is due unto his name. Number two, the gospel story also says that this same God is coming one day to judge the earth. Notice verses 31 through 33. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. And the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming. Amen? He is coming to judge the earth. See, this God deserves glory. But you and I don't give this God the glory that he deserves. In fact, from the time our first parents fail until now, we do not give God glory. We try to steal that glory for ourselves. And the Bible says God will not share his glory with another. And you and I try to steal that glory, and we rebel against him and are hostile toward him. And so God in his holiness and justice is coming to judge this earth. And all of us are guilty. Hear me. All of us are guilty before him and should stand in fear of his judgment. And so they say, preacher, what hope is there for us? Is this all the gospel is? There's a God that deserves glory, but I don't do it. He's going to judge me for not doing it. Is that all there is in the gospel? No. The good news of the gospel comes at the third part. Verse 34 tells us, yes, there is one true God, creator and ruler over all. Yes, he's coming to judge the earth because we are sinners and deserve that judgment. But number three, the gospel story tells us that this God is also good. He is good and full of mercy. Verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good, and his loving kindness or his mercy is everlasting. Everlasting. He is a good God who is full of mercy and grace towards sinners. God is so good and so full of mercy, so much so that he made provision for our condition. And this God in mercy came in the person of himself in the Lord Jesus Christ and gave himself to satisfy the demands of God's law and to satisfy the demands of God's justice. And on the cross, Jesus Christ died. Hillary said it so well. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He paid our penalty. He died in our place. The gospel always makes sense to me in illustrations. And I got a new one that came the same day that I was with the pastor in Tuscaloosa before the ticket. Right? No gospel in that. Law. No grace. Before that, we went to eat after the service to the Panera Bread restaurant. And we got ready we ordered and got ready to pay. And the guy said, what do you want? I told him what I wanted. And he gave the total. And the pastor said, put them both on my account. And he paid for both meals. Love that. But now watch what happened. Then the guy behind the counter said, whose name should I put on the receipt? The pastor paid for both meals, his gas, his car, his money. It was all his. And the guy behind the counter said, "Whose name should I put on the receipt?" And you know what the pastor said? He said, "Put Nathan Brown on the receipt of the meal." Hey, y'all haven't been studying with me, have you? Are y'all smelling what I'm stewing? All right? Watch this. He paid the price. My name was on the receipt. The money was all his. The reward was all mine. That's the gospel. You and I deserved to pay a penalty. We owed it, but we could not pay it. But God in mercy and God in goodness gave his only son to die on the cross for our sin. And when Jesus Christ died, he said to the Father, "Put Nathan Brown's name on the book of life. Put his name on the receipt. Write it in my blood. He's paid for and it's done." That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price and the receipt is all mine. And I have joy in his name and grace unmerited and unspeakable and full of glory. And now it's my only desire is to live for the one who died for me. That is the gospel. One true God who will judge the earth, but because he is good, he made provision for our condition. And now he calls us all simply to put all of our hope of salvation in him. Verse 35 is our prayer. Then say, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." That's our response to the goodness and the grace of God, is just to cry out and say, "Oh God, save me. Save me." How do you celebrate Thanksgiving to God's glory? Think gospel thoughts. Sing gospel songs. Pray gospel prayers. Share gospel stories. And then number five, and finally, show gospel love. Show gospel love. If you look back at chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3, at the conclusion of this Thanksgiving celebration, David did something interesting. He blessed the people in verse 3. He distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. He met their physical need. This was a tangible expression of the gratitude in his heart. That's what David did. And he did that because that's what God requires, was to do justice and love mercy. What God wanted out of his people was for the nations to know him. If you look at verse 8, verse 23 and 24, verse 31, God says, tell the nations, tell the peoples, declare my glory unto the nations. What does God want of us? For the nations to know this great God. A mission thrust. We are to share gospel story and show gospel love. What has the pastor taught us over and over again? That the gospel plow has two handles. What are they? Good news and what? Good works. Good news and good works. And together we plow ground for the gospel as we share good news and show good works. Share his love and show his love. Good news and good works. And those together are what make way for the gospel to flourish. So here's my question. How can our Thanksgiving celebration this year, how can yours and your family, how can your Thanksgiving celebration be a time that you share the love of God in word and deed? How can you celebrate Thanksgiving this year in such a way that you share God's love and show God's love to someone you know who needs it? Whether it be your family, your friends, a neighbor, a coworker. How do we share the love of God in word and in deed? Well, here's what I've been trying to give you today. Five practical ways that you and I can glorify God at Thanksgiving. How do we do it? Well, number one, we think gospel thoughts. Think about Jesus this Thanksgiving and be grateful. Number two, sing gospel songs. Lift up praise and a song of thanksgiving. Pray gospel prayer. If somebody asks this year, who would like to pray? Man, you ought to be the first one to raise your hand. Say, "I'll do it," and then pray the gospel. pray gospel prayers, share gospel stories, share this story and how this story has changed your life. And then finally, show gospel love. Share God's love in a tangible way this Thanksgiving. Last time this year, I'm preaching Thanksgiving sermon at Race Chapel, and we had a lady share testimony about being in Pensacola, and she's on her way somewhere important to work or whatever it was, and somebody smashed into her car, crashed into it. When she got out, the lady was just crying. So she went up to her, and the reason the lady was crying is because just a few days before, her husband had left her and her three children all alone. She had no insurance, and because of some accident or other, her license had been suspended. She was driving with a suspended license because she had no other recourse. And bless that lady at our church. Instead of writing her off, instead of treating her unfairly, unkindly, she shared and showed gospel love. And she brought that lady's name to our church family. And for Christmas, we took care of all the needs of that family. Now, I don't know whether or not that lady got saved. I'm not sure. She never did while we were with her. She may be here today for all I know. But here's what I know. God helped an accident, car crash, to be an opportunity for us to open our eyes to someone in need and share God's love around the holiday season. I want to ask you to open your eyes to someone in need. And you better do it, because if not, God may have someone to crash into you too. I hope not. I'm not praying for that. I don't want that to happen. But here's what we need to do. Open our eyes. Find someone in need and share gospel stories and show gospel love. Now, I'm finished, but I want to show you one final thing. Take your Bible now and turn to Luke chapter 10. One final word, and I'm through this morning's service. Luke chapter 10. I want you to see something here. Verses 38 and 40. 38, 39, and 40. This is a good word for us as we come to celebrate Thanksgiving together. Here's my message today. Here's my message. In all of your preparations, in all of your celebration, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss the Savior. Look at it, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Watch this. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to help me, because I'm busy preparing this celebration. Verse 41. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, your preparations are good. We're happy for all of that. But you become distracted by them, and you've missed what was really necessary. And that was to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. Hey, I want to challenge you. Hey, do your preparation. Have your celebration. It's all good. Friends are good. Have them there. Family are fantastic. Have them there. But while you have your turkey, don't forget the Lamb of God that brings salvation to the world. When you get down to watch the lions, don't forget the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And all your preparation and all of your serving and all of your happy moments, do not miss Jesus. because thanksgiving is wasted if it doesn't center around Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now that you'll take this invitation time and use it for your glory, Lord. God, call us to celebrate you in all of life, that our life would give you praise. God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, may the Spirit of God draw them to Jesus in this moment, this incredible service. God, draw us to yourself and help us, God, to make your glory our life commitment. Now, just before we stand up in just a moment, if you're here and you have a problem being grateful, I believe one of the worst sins imaginable is the sin of ingratitude. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 1, Paul links that with the ungodliness for which the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against. And so if you're here and you have an ungrateful heart, if you have a problem being grateful and thankful, it's very possible that your heart has never been transformed by the grace of Jesus, because transformed hearts are thankful hearts. And so today, if you need a heart change, Jesus can give it. He's here. He's ready to transform your life and to transform your holiday celebrations into those that honor the God who is worthy of all praise. Father, now work, we pray. Give the invitation moment to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.